saved to the uttermost. Isn't that a blessing? To know that you know that you know. That you have a time. It's nothing no greater. And it's nothing no sadder. I am glad I know. Thank God I went through a lot of days and nights not knowing. One day Jesus come to me, washed me in His blood. Now I know that I know. And I thank God I can know this morning. Well, over in your Bibles, in the book of Acts, chapter number 16, we've been dealing with the thought on some messages at midnight. We're going to find the third message this morning. The Holy Ghost phrased down that word, midnight. I want to say it's a lot later than most folks think. Amen. Just look around at the signs of the times. Jesus didn't put all this in our Bible because He didn't know what would come to pass. But He knew what would be here. And so it's a lot of things waiting on us. The Bible tells us these things are headed our way. He said now in Acts 16 and verse 16, came to pass as we went to prayer. Boy, I tell you, the devil will let you do a whole lot of things. But he don't want to see God's children go to praying. He said a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met with us. What's that, preacher? She is full of the devil. Which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Soothsayers are of the devil. Stay out of their closets. Stay out of their houses. The same followed Paul and us and cried saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God. The devil knows who's doing God's business this morning. He said, which show unto us the way of salvation. I'm glad I know the way. Jesus said He's the way. Not the Baptist church. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Him. I got a little Dean McNeese in me this morning. I'm running rabbits till I get to the message. I don't know how long you're going to stand up. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. When her master saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them to the marketplace under the rulers. Didn't the Bible say that the love of money was the root of evil? Boy, it's a whole lot of folks do pretty good. You get to messing with their money. The Bible said, and they brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, said they, not in our little box. Said they a little bit too loud, a little bit too long. Said they not doing stuff the way the rest of the Baptists are doing. Said they teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive. Said they don't know nothing about our traditions. Thank God for preachers that ain't preaching on tradition this morning. That's just following the waves and the moves of the good Holy Ghost. Man, I'm so glad I'm in a church where the Holy Ghost is at. They said they teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe being Romans. The multitude rose up together against them. Oh, I just seen something right there. Teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe being Romans. You always hear the saying, in Rome, do as the Romans do. That's a lie. When in Rome, do as a Christian does. And teach customs which are not lawful. The multitude rose up together against them, and most will. As our piano player said today, most have a contemporary service. They don't know what gear to get in. They just don't know much about the Holy Ghost. They say, well, the Holy Ghost hadn't worked, so we'll try the newfangled things of the day. We'll try the programs and we'll try all the games and the gimmicks and the gadgets to get them down our church. I want to say this morning, the Holy Ghost can get you to church. If you'll just stay in the ways of the Holy Ghost, the old ways. He said, seek ye the old ways and walk therein, you'll find rest for your soul. Thank God we ain't got split services. I wouldn't know what to do. I wouldn't know to hack or to bark. The Bible said, and the multitude rose up together against them. The magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. When they had laid many stripes on them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. It will cost you something to serve Jesus. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them in the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Here it is, verse 25. And at midnight. Oh, my goodness. Paul and Silas prayed, saying praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, I like that word, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword, would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice. Who said church and a preacher wasn't supposed to be loud? I don't like that loud preacher. No, it ain't the preacher, honey. It's the Holy Ghost in the preacher you don't like. Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we're all here. He called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. Brought them out and said, sirs, the most important question he ever asked in all of his life, what must I do to be saved? He ain't worried about what nobody else is supposed to do. He wants to know what he's supposed to do. Honey, I tell you, when you'll get saved, when the Holy Ghost sets you up in a dark place right by yourself, and you get to wonder, what must you do to be saved? And they said, thank God I've run with men that knowed how to get you there. Believe on, not believe in, but believe on. You can believe in that piano stool all you want, honey, but you will not believe on it till you get up on it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Thank you for standing this morning. You may be seated. Boy, only Jesus can turn your mourning into rejoicing. I want to preach this morning out of verse number 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, saying praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. I want to preach on this simple Bible thought today, the midnight rendition. A midnight rendition. We looked in the previous text of the book of Exodus where the midnight was mentioned. He said it'd be a cry like no other had ever been made. God said that the death angel was going to go out over the land of Egypt. He'd instructed the children of Israel to put the blood on the post of the house. And he said, I'm going to walk through the land and I'm going to kill all the firstborn of every house, from Pharaoh's house to the little house. He said, nobody's going to not be affected. So we're going to take the firstborn male child of every citizen of the country in Egypt. God told his youngins, he said, but if you'll take and you'll put the blood on the doorpost of your house, when I pass over, I'll see the blood and I'll not destroy your house. I'm glad and that we've seen on that message that there is a midnight redemption. In this dark hour, I'm going to tell you there's still hope for you today. But it's only by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of people don't want that bloody religion. You'll die and go to hell in your sins. Unless you repent to the Lord Jesus and accept what He's done for you on an old Roman cross. Died and shed His blood for the sins of this world. You must. Not an option. You must be born again. And it's still in the blood this morning. So we've seen that midnight redemption. Last week we noticed a midnight return. The book of Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 25 and 24. We see this great return at midnight. Oh, in our dark hour, Jesus is coming. The Bible said, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." Thank God for these fans of fanning. I feel like an old-time country preacher this morning. "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord. Oh, so shall we ever be with the Lord." I'm glad this morning that Jesus will come in the midnight hour. Boy, it's a good time for Him to come. America's never been this dark. I'm going to tell you, Jesus is soon to come. I believe with all my heart, probably in my lifetime, I'll see the Lord return. I can tell you, according to the Bible, He can come this morning. Nothing has to take place. Jesus is fixing to come. He's going to step out on a cloud, call His children home. Those that are saved are going to get out of the graveyard. We're going to be united in the air and go home to be with the Lord. And for 7 years, it's going to be plagues and there's going to be trials on this earth that nobody knows about. And honey, it's going to be too late for you that day. You better run to Calvary this morning and cry by the grace of God that the Holy Ghost would save you by His mercy today before it's too late. We see here now in our Bible in Acts chapter 16, we see two disciples at midnight. We see a midnight rendition. What's going on? We see a midnight film going on. We see some disciples that are being filmed in the midnight hour. We see up in this midnight rendition, first of all, you'll notice in verse 17, there was a detour at midnight. I wonder, have you ever just been going along and minding the Lord as a child of God, doing everything just right and doing everything that you know to do, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost gave you a detour? I mean, have you ever been just minding your own business and all of a sudden the bottom fell out of everything in your life? I'm going to tell you today, don't never point your finger at somebody and say, "Well, if they'd done right, this wouldn't happen to them." Be careful not to point your finger this morning and say, "Well, if they'd done this or do that, then surely God would have been good to them." Honey, let me tell you, in your situation, God is being good to you and God's being good to me, because He's making something out of us that only our trial and situation can make out of us this morning. Thank God He knows what He's doing. It ain't up to me and you to take our map. Thank God for some heavenly detours that God would get you to where He wants you to be in your walk of life. Some of you made a detour to get in here this morning. Some of you wondered, "How in the world could I be in a place with a preacher like this?" You had a detour happen. You ought to thank God for them detours in life. You was going by minding your own business, but God allowed something to happen in your life that detoured you the way you was walking, the way you was talking, the way you was trusting. Thank God for detours in our life. God will come along and get us off walking the road of complacency and put us in a dark situation. You'll never know Him, the God of light, till you're in a dark situation. You'll never know Him to be the God that can do it all till you get in a situation, honey, where you can do nothing by yourself. I am convinced without the Lord, you can do nothing this morning. It was a grand and glorious day. One day He detoured my life. I was minding my own business. Going to church, had been baptized, could recite the books of the Bible. But I'm glad He gave me a heavenly detour. Save me by the good grace of God. We see here this midnight rendition. There was a midnight detour. We see that it was unexpected. The Bible said in verse number 20, they brought them out to the magistrates, and they said, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. So they teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive." The multitude rose up together against them. Who always said the majority ruled? And the magistrates rent off their clothes. I'm going to tell you, in America, the majority is wrong this morning. Thank God it's still a few folks that's staying with the stuff. And so we see this detour at midnight. It was unexpected. And then it was unintended. The Bible said that they were, all of a sudden, verse 23, when they'd laid many straps on them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Preacher, will God allow that to happen to me? Sure He will. He loves sometime to strap His young'uns. Because He loves to see you get well. You see, God allows things to happen. But it's not, my friend, to harm us. It's to make us better. I've said a lot of times last couple weeks, God will and can hurt you. But He loves you too much to harm you. This is helping them. They didn't even know it. Whatever you're going through as a child of God this morning, oh, I know it's a hurting you. But it's a helping you. And so we see when they'd laid many straps on, they cast them to prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them in the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stuff. I mean, strapping, whipping wasn't enough. Putting the jailer in charge of them wasn't enough. They fastened their feet down. They put them in a tight place. I'm going to say this detour came unexpected. It came unintended. And certainly it was unfair. Who said serving God was fair? It's not in your Bible. You think God's fair? God ain't fair. If God is fair, you'd be in hell this morning. You better thank God He ain't fair, friend. You better thank Him that He loved you enough that you ain't in hell this morning. Boy, I'm glad He ain't fair. He ought to kill me years ago, put me in hell. My goodness, what mercy. Allow me to sit here and tell somebody about the love of Christ. And so we see this detour was unexpected, it was unintended, and it was unfair. But I won't say this, it was not unfruitful. God allows things to happen that He gets the honor and the glory out of it all. Matter of fact, I looked up something this morning in study time in John 15. Verse 1, He said, I'm the true vine. My Father's the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purges it. I looked up that word purges. You know what it means? Demolition. It means, buddy, He totally will mash you. He said, it beareth fruit that, and He purgeth it that it what may bring forth more fruit. What? I said a lot of times, when you go out of the doors this morning, we got two holly bushes on the right and the left. Brother Mike back there in cool weather, he took a buzz saw and he cut them things down. I said, brother, it's amazing what you made them things look like. I say, man, them things is just a stick sticking out of the ground. But go out there and look at them on your way out. They blossoming out. What happened? Had to be cut back. Ain't it amazing? Looks like God would be grateful. If we produced a little bit of fruit, but honey, He ain't looking for a little bit of fruit. He's looking for a whole lot of fruit. And you take them muscadine vines, if you don't cut them back, there won't be no fruit on them next year. But we're not careful. We grow and get out of bounds in our worldliness and in our society. But ain't you glad a detour come along and cut you back so that you may produce more fruit and more fruit? In your situations this morning, you're helping more people than what you know. Thank God for the times that He prunes us back that He may have more fruit. And by the way, He's the one looking at the fruit. He's the one getting the glory for setting the branch out. And so He knows what He's doing. The detour at midnight. Then secondly, I want you to notice this midnight rendition. You see, there's a detour at midnight, but in verse 25, there are some disciples at midnight. Not many of them left nowadays. Disciples at midnight in verse 25. I want you to notice their time. While the world was asleep, God was a-using them. Aren't you glad that in your dark hour, God knows what time it is? God's got to watch. And so certainly we see their time. And then we see their trial. They were locked up in a place, in a situation for doing right. I wonder, have you ever been persecuted for doing right? As any of you think if you loved the Lord and served Him and tried to be dedicated to Him, everybody would love you. But let me tell you something. Let me go on and break it in on you. Everybody ain't going to love you if you love the God of this Bible. They're going to call you Holy Roller. They're going to call you Mr. Legal. I guess if I'm legal, then that makes a lot of people illegal. But I'm telling you today, friend, this society will ridicule you and persecute you because you read your Bible, because you pray, because you go to church three times. They'll think you're funny. But God says it's what we're supposed to do. Oh, we see here in this midnight rendition, these disciples at midnight, their time and their trial, they were locked up in a situation they were fast and couldn't get out. We must say this is the best for us. Because we live not in circumstances, but we live in faith. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those that are the called according to His purpose. God has a purpose for you in your dark situation. God has a purpose for me in my dark situation this morning. We see the disciples at midnight, their time, their trial, but then their trust. I want to say at midnight they found out that their God never slept. Aren't you glad you've got a God that don't nap on you? Amen. Don't go to sleep and don't take time outs and vacations. My goodness, we've got a God that's almighty this morning. We see their trust at midnight. And then verse 25, they had some devotions at midnight. Devotions. Any of y'all had any devotions in your dark hour? Why is it most of the time in our dark hour we do things we're not supposed to do? They found out what to do in their dark hour. First of all, they prayed. Midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Nothing will never take place of praying. We see the devotions at midnight. Prayer. And then, I like this, their praise. And they sang praise. Look at that word, sang. Not sing. Big difference in singing and singing. Big difference in cussing and cursing. Big difference in drinking and drinking. Oh, they was a singing. Thank God I go to church where they some singing goes on. You know, when you're singing, all your robes match. When you're singing, it looks like something's bad in the building. Boy, I love people just get to singing and loving the Lord and enjoying being saved by the grace of God. They began to sing in their midnight hour. Oh my, it's so wonderful to have a song at midnight. And so we see this devotion at midnight. And their prayer and their praise and their preaching. What about their preaching, preacher? Yes, yeah, somebody was a listening in. You know something? In their situation, they were serving others better than what they knew. Matter of fact, God's doing more out of your trial than what you think He's doing. Sometimes people are blessed by overhearing us than hearing us. What was happening? Oh, the prisoners heard them singing and praising and praying. It made an impact. I wish people could hear us doing that. Most churches, let us hear them going through a rule of order. Boy, I tell you what, praying will never be replaced. God's house. And so we see this midnight rendition, a detour at midnight. Disciples at midnight and devotions at midnight. Their prayer, their praise, and their preaching. But in verse 26, notice this. There was a disturbance at midnight. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." He called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. There's a disturbance at midnight. Notice the foundation shook. You ought to thank God this morning that He's a shaking on you. I can remember when God started shaking on me, awakening me out of my sleep. He was fast asleep, but all of a sudden something happened in his life that woke him up. I wonder what God's going to have to do in your life to get you woke up. I wonder what great disturbance is going to take place to get you to come to the light. I've seen babies die. I've seen husband and wives have to leave. I've seen jobs close down. I've seen wealth leave. I've seen a multitude of things happen to come in to disturb people that might shake them. Thank God for the day that He shook me awake. What are you talking about? We were dead in trespasses and sins, minding our own business. But one day the Holy Ghost come by and began to shake us on the inside. Woke us up. He is doing good till He got shook. I won't say hallelujah. Well, go. I'm going to hack a little bit right here. I'm glad I was asleep in, but thank God He come by and shook me awake one day. A lot of you was asleep in religion till you come here and felt the Holy Ghost go to dealing with you. Some of you wonder, how come I'm so uncomfortable at this church? Hey, honey, it ain't the people and it ain't the preacher. It's the Holy Ghost that's shaking you this morning. Why is it you can go to some old dead places and God don't bother you, but you come a-hanging around here, honey, and something goes to shaking you? Woo! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. We're in a place that shakes people. I tell you what, a saint of God ain't right. It'll shake you too, honey. It'll disturb you. It'll shake you. Matter of fact, He come in and He called for the light. How come Jesus said, walk in the light while you have light, lest darkness suddenly find you? You can reject that light, but oh, He wanted light. He sprung in and grabbed the light. Oh, I'm glad one day in my shaking hour I got some light on my situation. See, it takes the Holy Spirit of God to shine in a dead sinner's heart to show them the need of salvation. Thank God there is a shaking. Then there's an awakening. All of a sudden, he became awakened to his situation. Aren't you glad? We're ever indebted to God to shake us awake. And then he was arrested. The jailer was arrested. What are you talking about? Oh, he got under Holy Ghost conviction and it's nothing no more miserable. When you go home, there's the Lord. When you go to church, there's the Lord. Man, when you out minding your business at work, there's the Lord. Every place you go, there's the Lord. You ought to thank God for it. Oh, my, the awakening and then the arresting. I'm glad I got arrested. You say you got arrested. Sure did. The Holy Ghost, the high sheriff from heaven, come by and arrested me of my sins. I realized I was lost and undone, fixing to go to hell in my sins. Boy, I'm sure I'm glad he come by and arrested me one day. And this is what he said. He said, you won't be saved? I said, I sure do, Lord. He said, well, you got to trust me by faith. Not by sight, by faith. You got to trust me that I saved you. You got to come to me. And he said, if you'd come to me, I would have no wise cast you out. And I trusted him, and he saved me. Are you perfect? No, but I got peace. Are you perfect? No, but I'm striving to get there. I don't run with the crowd I used to run with. I don't do the things I used to do long. Oh, you get me mad, I'll mess up. But then for long I'm repenting of it, begging God to forgive me. The things that bothers me today used to not bother me years ago. You know why? Because one day He come by and shook me and arrested me and saved me by His grace and mercy. And now the Holy Ghost lives in me and I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price and I cannot do what I used to do. We see disturbance at midnight. Has God ever come by and disturbed you of who you are? Has God ever come by and disturbed you of what you are? Has God ever come by and disturbed you of where you're going? Did you know when you die, chances are over? Did you know there are no purgatory, there are no waiting periods? This is the dressing room for eternity. The Bible said today's the day of salvation. We must be saved today while the Holy Ghost is shaking our heart. Oh, we see this great disturbance. Foundation shook and the doors opened. Boy, I'm so glad that God can shake some doors loose in your dark hour. Matter of fact, you that's going in some dark hours, I can tell you what God's doing. He's opening doors for you. You never would have no doors open till you got in some hard places. What you don't understand, God's getting you ready to go through doors that you've never been able to go through. Doors that was closed to you, the only way they're going to open for you is to get in some dark hours. God's going to let you go through some doors that other people can't go through. And this morning, I am convinced our church, there's been doors open here because of persecution. Nobody else wanted to do it. This church come to the plate and did it, and God's opened doors for us. And I thank God. Boy, I just wish I could preach on about an hour and a half this week. I feel like a preaching this morning. But all we see here, this great disturbance. And then, not only do we see disturbance at midnight, but we see some directions at midnight. Have you ever been lost and needed directions? Ain't it a wonderful thing to find somebody that knows what's going on? My mama, bless her heart, we used to go to Florida every year as kids. It has our big event, you know, get out of the country, go to Florida 1 week a year. We loaded up in an old 62 Impala, and out we come, out and bound Nashville, like the Clampets are headed to Florida. Everything we had was in an old 62 Chevrolet. We stopped and we eat breakfast one morning. That was a big deal for us. You know, we thought eating country ham out of a smokehouse and homemade biscuits was just an awful thing. You know, we wanted waffles and pancakes, stuff you didn't get in the country. Boy, we had it so hard eating country ham. And you know, when we come out of the cafeteria, my daddy said, "Mom, I'm tired. Now you take over. I've been driving about all night and you drive. I'm going to lay over here and sleep." I never will forget, there's a big load of folks pulling on the property on a bus and getting off. My mama done drove about an hour and a half, and I looked up, and then people was getting off that bus and getting back on that bus. She'd went one big circle an hour and a half. I don't know yet how she done it, but I shook my daddy. He woke up, he said, "Christine, you're lost." Boy, ain't you glad you found somebody that could find your way. I was lost and done without Christ, running in a circle in this old world. God allowed an old preacher named Brother Elmer Cason walk into my life. Tell me about the love of Christ. About a Jesus that would forgive me of everything I'd ever done if I'd just simply come. One day He saved me. I'm glad I got some directions in my dark hour. He came out in His disturbance, and this is what He said. He said, "What must I do to be saved?" Now, what must I do to be a Baptist? What must I do to do better? He said, "Listen, I'm lost and I want to be saved. What must I do to be saved?" Well, I'm glad that there's some directions at midnight. There's some people that know. This is what He said. He brought them out and He said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, ain't you glad there's a crowd still knows how? They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And Sherry, won't you come? There's nobody like Jesus this morning. I want you to notice the person of it. The Lord Jesus. I want you to notice the power of it. Thou shalt be saved. Do you want to be saved this morning? The power of it. He said, you can be saved. What a blessing to be saved. What a blessing. The directions of it. We see the person and the power, but then the promise of it. He said, and listen, He said, and your house. I was thinking a while ago, I seen my oldest girl in the choir singing. And I got to thinking, would my kids ever got saved if I hadn't got saved? I got to think about my little old grandbaby Olivia over there. And you say what you want to say. But she's a whole lot more apt to get saved being here than she is out yonder someplace. And Paul said, not only can He save you, Mr. Jailer, You can save everybody in your house. What you going to do when your wife goes to heaven and you don't get to go? What you going to do when God snatches some little old young'uns yours out of here and you don't get to go? Because if he comes back and you're not saved, and I don't know what the age is for them, but friend, I'm going to tell you, a lot of them under safekeeping with the Holy Ghost, they leaving out of here. You think God would put a little old baby in hell? You're crazy. They getting out of here. They leaving. And a bunch of them going to leave mom and daddy behind. That rapture took place today, there'd be homes separated. The Bible said it would in Matthew 24. He said two women be at the meal, one grinding, one to be left, one to be taken, right off the job site. Directions at midnight. What must I do? I wonder, are you there yet? I venture to say, in a crowd of people like this, everybody's not ready this morning. The directions. Aren't you glad there's some people that know how to get you to heaven? And it's simply the salvation plan, the Lord Jesus Christ. You can be saved. He died for you. Sir, Jesus died for you. Ma'am, He hung there for you. You say, well, preacher, I'm going to take my chances. You'll lose. You'll lose. Directions. Are you lost? You lost your way? I want to give you some directions this morning. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open. He that's thirsty, let him come to the water and drink. Is Jesus knocking? He said, open. He'd come in and sup with you. Directions. Paul gave directions. But then lastly, there's deliverance. Well, I'm glad the story didn't end. I'm glad we know what happened to him. Because the Bible said, and they spake to him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before him, rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Preacher, how do you know this man got saved? Well, verse 32, there was a convicting word. Verse 33, there was a converting work. He believed. There was a confirming witness. He got baptized. And he washed his stripes. The thing that he had done wrong, tried to make them right. And there was a Christian walk. He went a-rejoicing. Could you imagine that jailer put them stripes on old Paul and Silas, how he felt and it was over. Boy, could you imagine when he'd see them men walking down the street? What a changed life that old jailer had made, all because God shook him and he got the right directions. If we gave a survey this morning of how to get to heaven, probably a lot of different answers told. Do the best you can. Do good. Treat the poor well. Give your money to the church. Live good. Don't lie. But Jesus said you must be born again. He said in His eyes we're all as filthy rags. There's none good, no not one. There's not one person here good enough to go to heaven. Not a one. You say, preacher, I wouldn't have done that. I thank God you didn't do some of the things I did. But they gone. Honey, when I wasn't good to you, my first marriage is gone.
Megan Mason, when your daddy was smoking dope, didn't know where he was. It's gone. Jesus, give me a new life. He's here, want to give you new life this morning. That's what I want you to do. We've got a song. See, it's shaking you. You say, preacher, something wrong with it. Preacher, I ain't got no peace. Come to him this morning. These people all around this house have been right where you are today. Shook. Disturbed. God would save you this morning if you'd step out and come by faith. He'd wash away all your sin. Wouldn't it be wonderful to come in a house of sinner and leave out a saint of God? Washed in His blood. Your sin's totally gone forever. No one without a shout out you got in your vehicle out yonder, you're just going to heaven. Would you like to leave in that kind of situation this morning? Are you lost? I can tell you the right direction. Jesus saves. And Jesus alone. You must come as a little child and trust Jesus to say, I wonder this morning, would you get up out of your pew and would you come to this altar just as simple as a little child, bow on your knees and ask Christ to come into your life, wash you from your sins, move in and live with you and give you a home in heaven and forgive you of everything that you've ever done. I wonder, would you be willing to do that this morning? If you are, He'd save you if you'd come to Him. I'm not going to push or pry. I simply want to tell you, you're welcome to come to Jesus this morning. He loves you. He sent this message to you. I wonder, would you respond by faith? Christian friend, how's your life in the midnight hour? They listening to what you're saying. Sinner, don't let this Sunday morning pass you by. I don't care where you are. Man, woman, boy, girl, does not matter. The message goes to all. You must all come by the way of the cross. If you'll come, there'll be people come and pray with you and help you this morning. Do you want to be saved? Come while we sing.